Thank you. Gonna ship it to this whole wide world. Gonna ship it back. She gonna wanna be.
Warning, the following program contains subject matter that portrays gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgendered people as deserving the same rights, responsibilities, privileges, and power as all other people of the world.
Topics like this are known to piss off a lot of people, like several members of the Congress and our state legislature, backwater preachers and televangelists, blue-haired biddies, a good portion of the state of Utah, those talking heads over on the AM dial, and other socially unacceptable right-wing nutjobs that think teabagging just means dangling a Lipton from your tri-corner hat.
Listener discretion is strongly advised, and if not...
Bite me, bitch.
I love to be queer. I love to be queer.
You have tuned into After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on KPFT Houston. For over 25 years, we have brought you a different look at the news, interviews, music, events, and entertainment that affects the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender community, as well as our allies in Houston and around the world.
We're a diverse group, but we all have one thing in common. We are out of the closet and proud of who we are. We urge everyone to come out of whatever closet they are in and join us, showing your pride in self and community.
We understand that for many, this may not be possible due to age, family, school, work, faith, or just not being ready to come out yet. It is for those who cannot come out yet that we are especially here for.
So sit back and get ready for this week's edition of After Hours, because we are out of the closet and on the air.
Houston, Galveston, Livingston, the world. This is After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. Well, close the door.
Hey, don't start giving orders from in here. We interrupted him.
We better now.
Now that we don't have people yelling in from the hallway.
Shall we start over?
You know, we're the ones that are getting older. You think we'd be the ones that are being bitchier today.
I know.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I forgot the two old ones are in there.
You know what? I think we ought to give them their birthday surprise now.
Yeah.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah. We're excited.
So I can at least turn off for 8 seconds, huh?
Are you ready?
Just leave the mics on.
Just leave the mics on.
Go ahead,
okay.
Go ahead and play their birthday song.
Okay, guys, this is from us to you across the glass.
She pushed the button for this album?
Yeah, it wasn't easy.
Michael Rennie was ill the day the earth stood still, but he told us where we stand.
Jimmy's just going in the dream world.
Flash Gordon was there in silver.
I wonder how this is a birthday song.
Claude Rains was the invisible
man. You know the song, don't you?
Yeah.
Then something went wrong for Fay Wray and King Kong. They got caught in a cellular jam.
Then my luck was to be a big Italian guy beating the hell out of me.
Out of your ear, witch.
And this is how the message ran. Dr.
Science fiction.
I thought I stretched sometimes. Joke.
Well, we tried.
It stopped first.
Yes, you did try. I'm going back to my cheesecake.
Want to finish the
That's
opening?
A piece of...
Yeah, finish the opening.
Yeah. I said I'm all
full. You can do it with your mouth full.
That's right.
Sure he can.
My mom told me not to talk with my mouth full. That's why I'm usually quiet when I'm full.
That's because your boyfriend's not like, yeah, never mind.
Oh, this is the 12th of December, January edition.
Hello.
Of After Hours. For those of you who don't know, it's in the middle of two of our birthdays. Mine was on Thursday.
And mine is on Monday.
Henceforth, our science fiction double feature.
So, Monday, I thought it was...
13th.
2 days and 2 days.
Okay.
We're in the middle of it.
We're smack in the middle of it. Math hasn't been my strong suit for a while, so I was like... Huh? Okay.
Oh, okay then.
Welcome,
Chris.
This is unusual that Jimmy is here for this, because usually in many recent years it's been in Hawaii. Time.
Yes.
You're kidding.
So it's nice.
Wow. Hello. Nice. Hi, guys.
The case befuddled her.
Yeah, you know, you can't tell the back from the front in some of these things. I know people
Am I
that can't.
Skinny?
Yeah. You can't tell if you're coming or going, girl.
See, I know Jimmy wouldn't have that problem because it's a jewel case. And he, if anything that knows to get into a jewel case, it's going to be Jimmy.
I can't do this now, can I?
There is
no,
that.
I can't.
Just wait on that.
Okay.
Hi.
My name is Chris Harris, and I'll be your co-executive producer this evening. I suddenly realized we hadn't done that for
you. Yeah.
And I'm Jimmy Carper. I'm the oldest... co-executive producer of this show, and when we talk about Chris and my birthday, I'm 66 and he's somewhat younger.
63 and a half. Teach you to
I see, I used
unicorns.
To make the joke that, you know, Jimmy, you're the same age as my daddy. Now I have to say, you know, if my daddy was still alive, you'd be the same age as my daddy.
Oh, bite me, bitch.
And I'm Wes Laverne. I guess I'm the teacher of the board again this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I'm the board. No, this is Jimmy.
Melissa thinks you are.
Yeah. Say what?
Melissa thinks you are.
And I'm bored? Okay.
See, Wes, if you were on the Queer Voices show, your title would be Master of the Audio Board Slaves.
Aha.
Not with me in the room. Quick, by the way, ask Jimmy a question. He's.
By the way... another birthday shout-out I found out about there is Saturday was Jack Falinski's.
Yes, Jack. Happy. That's right.
Boy, birthdays are abounding.
There are a lot of our... And here comes the last week's birthday boy.
Yes. Yeah.
So apparently...
And prior to Jack is Deborah Bell's birthday.
So March is a month to get... If you want to get in the radio...
Hello, it's
if
January.
Apparently March is the time to be producing January bursts for radio.
Really? Let me count on my fingers. No, now they say it takes 10 months, so. Oh, well. What can you say? Hi, honey.
Hi.
Oh, well. Okay, so, we have...
We're munching on cheesecake in here.
I know. I mean, it's hard to carry on a conversation with two people chewing.
Yeah, and we haven't had any.
No, we haven't had any. Poor little urchins.
And if there's none out there, I'm going to kill people.
I left Robert in charge of it so that there would be, and he has a knife.
Imagine here, eating on microphone, and I'm not a former empress.
Okay. The voting is closed. We have a new emperor and empress elect that they don't even know who they are yet.
Nobody knows who they are yet.
That's what I just said. Yeah. They don't know who they are yet. So
they will find out next Saturday
week.
Night at
right.
the
coronation.
Or something or other.
Coronation,
yes. So tonight we're just going to have to make do with the new segment, Hot Artists in H-Town.
Ooh, they're already in the house.
They're all in the house, anxious, chomping at the bit, and we had to close the door to block them out.
I know,
I'm excited about it. Always like a new segment.
Yeah, and in fact, their very first guest was the first one here.
What a deal. You know, I came plowing in with the wheelchair 10 minutes late. Gee, it's funny, something about bringing a wheelchair that I'm always running late now. Anyway, I came.
Just don't be late on the 8th of February.
Okay. I promise.
He's trying to do a calendar, Adam, now.
Okay. Anyway, so what do I know? So I came running into furniture because, you know, people don't really see wheelchairs coming and plowing through doors and hitting things.
I know. You about took that door out.
I know. Well, I hurt my hip this week.
Wow. I was going to say, what did the door ever do to
you? So what I was trying to do is get through and get, because after that running ramp thing, to get into this building.
Next time call me, I'll come out and help.
And stop the wheelchair for a few minutes before my hip got caught in, you know, in it again. So that's okay. You know,
so you decided to hip check Jimmy into... I can't talk.
Put your teeth back in.
The cheesecake is sticking to your teeth. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so you had to chef check him into one of the wall...
Freudian slip number two.
All I can say is, thank God Chris is not the only one on a mic tonight. Because we would be in deep caca. Mm-hmm. So, okay. You know, we're going to need another song in a few minutes.
We'll work on that in a minute.
Bring all those people in.
Yep. We'll give them a couple songs.
I mean, we just used all of our extras. You know how it is. So, hey, we I'm not used to
CDs,
sitting in this chair. Bless you, my child.
Ooh, you've been in there long enough.
Oh, no. I only get to do like the first 20 minutes every week. It's not like I do a whole show yet. I haven't.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, we can change that.
Oh, we can. Well, except that I have to be on the other side of the glass tonight.
Oh.
I was on the other side of the glass last week. I'm on the other side. And next week I have guests. I'm on the other side of the glass next week. So it's kind of funky.
Mm-hmm.
I like both sides of the glass.
She's going through the looking glass.
And so far, yeah.
So she's biglacial.
Glass darkly.
Biglacial. I like that one. That was good.
All right, the sugar's kicking in. So, I've only made one terrible
Somebody check his sugar stream. There might be blood
in
there.
I've done two things. Right?
Huh?
I've done two whole things, and I've only done one wrong tonight.
Mm. A slight flub, but nobody noticed.
Nobody knew but us.
Yeah.
You wouldn't know if I hadn't told you.
No.
See? It's all, it works. It's like I opened everything up at once, and no, I
didn't. Yeah, I turn on the speakers out there, I go... Okay, I think this is our music because there's words and sounded like Janis. So
Judy didn't pick it. No, I love Janis, but Janis and Dusty's kind of an odd combination for me. But that's okay. I'm an odd.
Well, I could tease them. I was saying, you know.
Oh, I think they'd make a cute couple.
Oh God, thanks. Now I'll have nightmares the rest of the week.
Oh, I was teasing because there is one. Artist whose birthday is this week, Joan Baez.
Yes.
We'll see if we got to play a Joan song.
I don't know if we have one in there.
We have one that I know of. Because I usually play it because Jimmy's usually not here for her. She's on January 9th birthday. Same as mine. It's the only way I know it.
Oh, we forgot Elvis, too. He was the 8th.
Yeah.
Okay.
I always joke about the fact that my mom's friends always told her, push harder. So he's born on Elvis's birthday, not Tricky Dickie's. Push! Didn't work.
My brother was born on Elvis's birthday. He was an Elvis lookalike for many years. Ugh. Don't go there.
Well, came out of the womb with a pompadour.
My grandfather and my aunt had their birthdays this month, too.
Wow.
Well, my
so March is for screwing.
Absolutely.
It's when all the birds are nesting and the flowers are flowering and the grass is greening and the trees are blooming, you know.
And the people are doing...
And the people are going out and having picnics under trees and you know what happens at a picnic.
Ants come along?
Yeah.
And a couple of uncles.
And even a few cousins. So, all right. I think identical we're going cousins? Downhill. No. Let's not go there. Let's not go there.
How downhill did you want to go?
Really not that far because my hip hurts.
Okay.
We're getting ready for the Olympics.
You know, downhill skiing, it's luge, you know, or skeleton, or going downhill fast, head first.
It's a white CD.
Oh, he's...
White CD, first cut.
Okay, then. How do you open that thing? Like that.
Which one are you playing?
I don't know. I find everything.
Isn't it?
What is the title of this song?
I don't know yet.
He's just picked what he wanted to. He didn't pick anything.
You're calling out by CD color and all that stuff. It's like, what in the world?
What he has is a green CD.
I just picked up the disc. I haven't looked at the song selections yet.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have to bring a magnifying glass.
Brothers in Arms.
Yeah, that sounds like a good one.
What?
Cue up number one.
I think I can find number one.
This is a song that
we
played a long time ago, and we still play it today for people who have died. Originally, it was... had a different meaning, but early in the AIDS epidemic, it was played to show the discrimination with people who had AIDS and the general population.
So we're going to play a dirge on our birthday show?
Yeah, we're going to say hello.
Yes, it's a really
I'm okay
good.
With it.
Do I have to say
really
this?
It's a happy
Elvis?
Dirge.
Do I have to say this one's for Elvis?
No.
Okay, thank God. Okay.
So, shall we do that, another song, and bring in our guests?
Jimmy's still eating chocolate.
Oh, Jimmy's... okay. Never mind. We'll do this song. We'll come back and let Jimmy talk some more.
Okay.
Well, you were eating cheesecake, so we couldn't move you out very well, so...
I think he's going to want to hang around a little bit. Or somewhere close by.
Is there going to be room?
Yeah.
Okay.
We'll find room. We'll see what we're going to do. Let's play the song, get a second one queued up. We got a phone call to take. We got a lot of stuff to do, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back.
Mm-hmm.
Phone ringing.
Close the mics. Start the song.
Thank you.
but we have just one word. Why live in different worlds?
Billy Ray was the preacher's son, and when his daddy would visit, he'd come along. When they gathered around and started talking, that's when Billy would take me walking. In the backyard we'd go walking, then he'd look into my eyes. Lord knows, to my surprise, the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was.
What?
He was.
What?
Being good isn't always easy, no matter how hard I tried. When he starts sweet talking to me, coming to me, everything is alright. Kiss and tell me now everything is alright. Can we get away again tonight? The only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man. He was. Was in his eyes, stealing kisses from me on the side, taking time to make time, telling me he's all mine, learning from each other's knowing, looking to see how much we've grown. And the only one who could ever reach me was the son of a preacher man. The only boy who could ever teach me was the son of a preacher man.
He was.
Lord, he was.
I know you want to say it. Come on.
No, go ahead.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Well, we started that off with Joan Baez, as we all know, Brother in Arms. And then we went into a little Jeff Krasner.
Yes.
Doing Son of a Preacher Man.
Yes, so, yes.
And I know Jimmy was enjoying it. He was over here singing along. Or, oh. was that howling?
Jeff likes to rock out.
Yeah. So are we ready in there now?
All ready to go. Okay, always good. Ready. Okay. In 26 years, I have to say, I've never heard Jimmy sing a note. Not a single note. You must have played the right song.
I must have.
Wow.
First time for everything.
I guess so.
But I'm not sure if it was actually singing or not. I was having a hard time telling.
Well, all the doors were closed, and then it was just Wes and I, so I thought, hey.
The truth of the matter is he's high on cheesecake.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know if that was to be my pleasure or my pain.
Still my excuse.
All right.
So who do we have in house with us again?
We have all kinds of people in the room, but this is a new segment starting tonight, Hot Artists in H-Town.
Oh, wow.
With, Heather, and she got her sidekick Jim with his camera, and Heather Gabriel. I'm sorry, I always forget the last name. Yeah, that's what can I say? And they've brought, or she's brought, a couple of guests in. I'll let her kind of go over what this segment's all about and introduce our guests, and I'm just going to sit here and enjoy it.
Okay, cool. Well, we put this together. It's an interesting collaborative effort with all the folks here. We all wanted some live, new, emerging talent on the air, and so we're kind of opening up the show to all types of audio and visual artists, still working on how to do the visual part, but you know, in addition to musicians, you know, writers of all stripes. As a matter of fact, our March show, we've got a children's artist coming on, children's book
author.
Thank you, coming on, as well as a jazz fusion artist. But more importantly and more excitingly, in the house tonight, we've got Ms. Shelley Miller, who has a band in Austin called Prime Directive, and she's going to regale us with all her wonderful tunes tonight. And her partner in crime with the Acid Green Fiddle. I love it.
Yeah, I love it.
Rick, I am so sorry. I'm going to butcher your name, so you might as well just say it.
Oh, Opperstenny.
Opperstenny. Rick Opperstenny's also in the house.
I don't think I would have ever gotten that one myself.
Yeah. I looked at that and went, Rick, oh.
Everybody does.
I figured that. So we wanted to, both of these folks went to high school here with each other, which is really cool.
Wow.
I got introduced to Shelley through a mutual friend, and we started talking. It was like, okay, this sounds like a great idea. So, you know, we wanted to bring her down all the way from Austin, but her roots are here.
That's right.
So, you know, wanted to showcase her.
You can't argue
bit.
With anybody who has roots here.
There you go.
I mean, that's just
there
the way
you go.
It is. Where I grew up.
Absolutely. So, anyway, might as well just get started with some music and get them rocking on, because these guys are awesome. So, why don't you play us your first tune?
Right,
okay, this was a song called Combustible.
How many times you gonna pick me up before you pull me down? How many times you gonna throw me in before you let me drown? How many times you gonna light my fuse before you light my fire? How many times before you realize that, oh, you're just my one desire? I can't work, I can't sleep, I can't eat, I can't even breathe. It's all because of you. I just close my eyes and I hope that I can feel my way back to you. I feel so reckless, and I'm afraid, oh, what am I do? Yeah, You made this world and trapped me in it. Well, I hope you're happy too. How many times you gonna make me bite my lip instead of scream and shout? How many times you gonna touch me there and turn me inside out? How many times you gonna make me wait, oh, so impatiently? How many times you gonna make me wonder, oh, where I'd much rather be? How many times you gonna give me that look that makes me melt to the floor? How many times you gonna make me remember what my body is for? How many times you gonna make me feel just like I'm dying inside? How many times you gonna make me crazy when you know my hands are tied? Can't work, I can't sleep, I can't breathe, I can't do anything, no, all because of you. I just close my eyes and I just gotta hope that I can feel my way to you. Feel so reckless, and I know exactly what I'm not supposed to do. You made this crazy world and trapped me in it. Well, I hope you're happy too. You're so combustible. So combustible. You're so combustible, baby. So combustible.
Thank you.
Yes.
It was nice to get that first one out of the way.
You know, they start playing and I'm just enthralled, and then I look and then she starts singing. I went,
oh, yeah, they sing.
Yeah, they do sing. Yeah, more entertainment. How exciting.
It's not often that I get to hear a real rockin' song that is so tremendously intimate. I felt like I was listening in on somebody's conversation.
Yeah, that's good. That's the way
great.
It should be.
You peeping Tom.
That's all he's got left. You
know. We all have our vices. What can I say?
There you go.
So give her a second to talk, too, after she, you know, cools down from the song.
Oh, well,
I want to know more about what she does in Austin.
Oh, I do all sorts of things in Austin. By trade, I'm a financial planner, and by avocation, I do this.
If I was a financial planner, I'd have to find something to do.
That's right. I mean, those who know I'm a financial planner can't believe I
play guitar and sing, and those who know I play guitar and sing can't believe I'm a financial planner. Yeah. So it all works out. It all evens out. Yeah.
That's typical.
Karma, you know, yeah. makes itself known.
People who know, I mean, I'm a lazy bum, and they know I'm a lazy bum, and that works.
Well, in Austin, everybody's a musician anyway, so there is that.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't
lots
know that.
Lots of music people in Austin. Oh, okay. I've been there a long time, been playing music a long time, and like everybody else, not making a living at it. So.
And all that's the tough part. There's, you know, it's not that there's so much talent out there. It's that there's so little want to pay talent.
Right. Well, that too. There is a lot of talent.
Well, there's a lot of talent, but that we're not overflowing with it. I mean, there's plenty for everybody. It's just nobody wants to hire you and pay you.
Yeah, Houston is not a live music town, really. Yeah.
Austin is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah,
maybe
very
I'm
much
in the
so.
Wrong place. No, I don't think so. I think I'll stay where I am.
But Rick, you're here, or you're in Austin also?
I am in Houston.
All right.
I've got a nice day job whispering to computers and making them work better, but... It's same in the same way. You have to have an outlet. I had always had the music bug. Shelly was the girl down the street that was rocking out in the garage.
You could hear her
taking
so
violin lessons over here, and went round trip through Boston and a music school, and came back, and I have a weekly gig at a little Opry House in Alvin.
Okay.
So I kind of keep my hand in it that way. I get to play violin. I get to play bass. I get to play what they call fiddle.
And I love
the question, all okay, what's the difference between violin and a fiddle? And if you have us back, we will answer that time.
Ooh, teaser.
Yeah.
Well, I can tell you what, there hadn't been a computer built that I ever whispered to. And what
he's
I
not
say to them,
right.
He couldn't get to the button fast enough. you couldn't dump me enough times for the show. So I'm proud that you can whisper to them.
I don't have to dump you. All I have to do is hit this yellow one right here.
Oh, okay, well, that works, too. That works, too. Sure. But, I'm just, you know, if I had known that my violin lessons would have led to this, I'd have kept it up.
Well, there you go.
You know, it's like, no, flute, it's like, meh. Obviously, I'm not musically inclined. I'm just built to listen. So, and I'm loving this. So, I just had to make my comments. Y'all carry on without me now.
Thank you.
Aw. I was about to ask how you got into music, but it sounds like it was a high school thing, right?
Well, no, I started playing guitar when I was about 8 or 9 years old,
okay,
something like that.
Which, elementary school thing.
Elementary school, which is, okay. I think that's about how long we've known each other since we were 8 or 9 years old. And
so you were playing in a garage band back then.
Yes, literally
she
a garage band.
It really was.
Awesome.
It was literally in my parents' garage.
Okay.
There's a band I play in Austin now called Prime Directive. Mm-hmm. If anyone wants to go poke around, find out more about that band, we're primedirectiveband.com, and we're on Facebook.
I was going to say, you're on Facebook, too,
Prime
right?
Directive
Band.
Yep,
Prime Directive on Facebook.
Keep up with our shenanigans.
That's right. And you just had a gig for New Year's.
So. Oh, we had a blast at New Year's. New Year's is a fun time to play.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't matter how good you are, how bad you are.
Yeah, they love you.
Everybody's happy.
Yeah, everybody's happy. They're having a great time. Yeah. It's awesome.
Exactly.
That's all right. They don't remember it the next morning.
That, too.
I was about to say that, too. Yeah.
Yeah, right.
That's cool.
Everybody loves the band on New Year's Eve.
Yep.
Of course they do. Did you have a gig on New Year's too, Rick, or did you stay quietly home?
I did not have a gig on New Year's. I can't remember what we did. I was doing family stuff.
Okay.
We
were having a good time.
Over. Yeah.
Good time was
remember,
had by all,
probably
huh?
Probably a good thing if you didn't have a gig.
Don't go out and seek out a lot of musical activity. When I get to hear somebody or to get to sit in like this, it's always very inspiring. I got to hear Circa Paleo last weekend at the science fiction convention. My wife and I are glued to the front row listening to them. They have a very good violinist.
Oh,
and
neat.
They work with drums, and Tartanic was there. And
cool.
Listeners at the KPFT are familiar with their material as well. So I just get energized whenever I can hear live music, but it's kind of homebody most of the time.
That's all right.
That's what we're all about here.
There you go.
That's right.
Well, let's have another song, Pretty Please with Sugar on it.
All right.
Well, you don't have to ask twice. The song is called Want You Some More.
Yeah.
nothing was planned. No, nothing was planned. No more distraction, I'm tired of inaction. We fit so right like a glove in a hand. Desire darkened your eyes when you darkened my door. And I want you some more. Want you some more. I want you some more. Want you some more. My need is red on black. My need is red on black. Knock the rust off, shake the dust off. Memory hits me like a shark. I tumble down like a rock to the ocean floor. And I want you some more. 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 When I can close my eyes, when I can close my eyes, imagination takes me so far. Now I know just what you are. You gotta come on back so I can even the score. 'Cause I want just some more. Want you some more. Want you some more. Then I want you some more. I gotta have you. I want you some more. Want you some more. Now, 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 now.
Thank you.
All right.
A little surprise ending there for Rick, but he, I knew he wouldn't miss it.
He can take the pressure. I saw
we're going to stop right there.
Wow. Well, he takes direction well.
He does.
That's always right. A good thing.
And it was timed perfectly. I just turned off my camera and said them.
Ah, well, such a deal. Glad to oblige.
Such a deal.
There you go.
No flash for y'all. Just, you know, turn them on.
Yeah.
What can I say?
Well, I'm really bad at
phones,
it,
cameras. But, you know,
these days, they're all, they all seem to be one and the same.
Well, I got mine back with the camera on it so I could do these things. So, you know.
Well, I wanted to ask you, actually, what... you know, music-wise, what inspires you, or what, you know, what inspires you both to write your songs and to form the music that goes with them and all of that?
Well, I wrote my first song, which was horrible, when I was 14, I think, or something like that, 15. And I write what I feel, mm-hmm. and it is sometimes... I'll write a song and then I'll come back the next day and it'll look like something somebody else wrote because
yeah. A 14 or 15 year old never feels the same way the next day.
This is true. Well, that's true. But I'm not 14 anymore and it still happens. So, I wrote what I feel and I try also to lyrically. And I also try, I've been trying a little more lately to be a little bit more, disciplined about it. If I sit around and wait and not write until the,
right.
inspiration strikes me, then it, I might not write a song for years. If right. I say, all right, I'm going to sit down now and see if I can write, then at least I'm trying. And usually nothing happens, but you never know.
Yeah.
Musically, I
it just happens. I do collaborate with a number of other musician friends. I like working with other people to bounce ideas off of and,
sure.
and receive inspiration from. And different styles tend to mesh in interesting ways.
Yes.
And so that's always fun for me.
Well, I can hear some of those styles as the, you know, the background influences. As you were developing your own style, what which artists really kind of played in the background in your head as you're forming this?
Well, that of course has changed through sure since I was 14. As
I
would well.
Say when you were 14, who yeah, was it? Yeah. Who is it now?
Well, I kind of come from more of a folk blue folk rock,
sure,
easy listening rock. Like when I was becoming aware of music, the Eagles were popular.
Oh, sure.
Fleetwood Mac was popular, and
yeah,
of course there's always the Beatles. And then as I grew older and more rebellious, it became the Rolling Stones,
yeah,
and it became the Who, and of course the band Heart was
sure
were big role models for me, being an electric guitar player. There were not a lot of female musicians playing rock and roll back then.
That's true.
Led Zeppelin's a pretty big influence on me.
Yes.
I've been getting into the blues a lot lately as well. Yeah. I like Bonnie Raitt, but a lot of the old blues players too.
Yeah.
The ones who started it, Buddy Guy.
Yeah.
Those guys. Robert, even going all the way back to Robert Johnson.
Sure.
I mean, just back to the birth of it all.
Well, we can definitely hear that, hear all of those coming through as we listen to you play. So
that's
pretty cool. That's pretty cool. So, Rick, spotlight on you.
Oh, well, I'm a sideman. I'm always of people who can put words together and come up with a melody or either one of those.
Sure,
I'll be the rubber against the glue where it bounces off, and I'll come up with a phrase that seems to work with the song, and that they help me. Okay, that made me think of this over here. So
right.
We just kind of keep regenerating. I might not play the same song the same way twice.
Well, sure.
Out at the Opry, I'm always irritating people by sticking in Christmas melodies. October starting in there, and I'm playing a little fiddle solo to a George Strait number. Well, how did he get the Christmas song in?
I love that.
My inspirations, you know, like a good piece of architecture, or the way a river bends around a corner, or a fountain. David Catney, who also went to our school, he's departed now, but he pointed out a fountain, and he said that this is like jazz. It's the water coming through is always the same water. You know,
sure.
You're always playing the same palette of the same 12 notes, but yet it's always different. The river flowing by is always different, and it's what you can do within the bounds of that fountain or the structure of a blues song.
Wow.
And what you can do within those constraints and still make it fresh, it just really goes to the heart of what music is and can be.
True.
Speaking of blues...
I was going to say, it sounds like a good segue into the next gig.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this next song is...
Can I interrupt? Oh,
certainly.
Sure.
I wasn't able to mention this earlier when you were talking about it, but Bonnie Raitt is a goddess.
Yes.
Absolutely.
You will receive no disagreement.
Goddess.
No.
Not only does she do great music, but she has really... furthered the blues.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And I
yes, she can do no wrong.
Right.
With me.
And I would be very remiss, of course, especially having lived in Austin as long as I did, if I did not mention Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Oh, yes.
Who
yes.
was, of course, just phenomenal. Absolutely phenomenal.
Played extensively on this station.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He did.
Yes.
Yeah. And, I had the fortune of seeing him a few times before he really broke big, and just phenomenal.
Yeah.
Just phenomenal. Wow. Can't say anything else about him other than he was just phenomenal.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know if he ever touched a violin, but he came up with the more good electric fiddle licks than I can point to any fiddler.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
All right, well, before you get into that next song, let me do one quick thing, because you are listening to Hot Artist on H-Town here on Queer Radio with Attitude, After Hours, on listener-sponsored commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 in Galveston, and 90.3 Goodrich Livingston, and as always, www.kpft.org.
Thank you.
Okay, let her rip.
Now that we're legal.
Yes, now that we're legal.
I meant yes. Diagramming that sentence right. in my head.
It was really believe monstrous. Me, I added an extra part to it, so it kind of threw me off at the beginning a little bit.
So. I know that feeling. And I hopefully have some friends up in Austin who are who say that they are listening at the moment.
Let me
streaming.
See here. Let me
and
do
even
this.
If they don't, they can catch it on After Hours.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I'll put it to this way. We have 35 online listeners right now.
Ooh.
Oh, all right.
So, it's 34 more than we want most of you.
Well, we were at 37. We dropped two of them.
Uh-oh.
They
will have to track them down. Yeah.
Maybe they lost their internet connection. They'll be back in a little bit.
Yeah, a couple phone calls going, too, so. I saw. Yeah, I made just about everyone I know copiously aware that they could listen to this at a later date. They didn't have to stay up until 1 in the morning with the rest of us. night owls and non-night owls, as the case might be. Cool.
Okay.
This song, which is a blues song, I didn't even start writing blues songs until a couple of years ago because I don't know why, I just didn't. But it's called the Hellfire Blues. Want you in the morning when the sun begins to rise. I want you in the noontime when the daylight blinds my eyes. I want you in the nighttime when it's just too dark to see. If I got a burning hellfire for you, honey, that's the way it's gonna be. I want you on the mountain, underneath the big blue sky. I want you on these satin sheets, where you always make me cry. I want you on the sandy beach where the desert meets the sea. If I got a burning hellfire for you, honey, that's the way it's gonna be. I want you when I'm sleeping, 'cause my body lets me know. I want you when I'm wide awake, and your memory makes me glow. I want you in the forest, up against a shady tree. If I got a burning hellfire for you, honey, that's the way it's gonna be. If I got a burning hellfire for you, honey, that's the way it's gonna be. If I got a burning hellfire for you, honey, that's the way it's gonna be. Oh, I like the ending.
Oh, I know. Yay.
All blues songs
end the same way and start the same way and kind of have the same middle part too.
Well, gee, that's funny because that's I like them all. So
well, there you go.
Well, yeah.
Forgive me, I seem to have a piece of cheesecake in front of me.
Oh,
yeah, every time they bring food into the studio, it's like Wes and I look around. It's like, well,
where's ours?
Wes sneaked out and got us some.
Yes.
I was tired of watching Jimmy sit here eating his. So.
Oh, okay. Well, now I got to eat in front of our guests. So.
Go right ahead. I had cheesecake dangled in front of me when I walked in. Like, before I sing, no. After
yeah,
I sing, you know, watch your fingers. Don't get them in the way.
Okay,
I
Robert. Cheesecake.
I think there's still three pieces.
Okay,
out
Robert. Oh, well, put those pieces away. I gave Robert the knife and told him to watch it.
Yeah, so. we saw that.
Yes. He's my bud. Yeah. So, anyway, sorry.
That's quite all right. Yeah. Quite all right. Yeah. So I know your husband is listening still.
I hope. Mr. Shelley Miller, you better be out there.
Yeah. Maybe he was one of those
two that dropped off. Well, when I told him we were going to be on at 12:15, I got a text from him at 12:16 saying, "There's something else on the radio, and it's not you." Well, don't worry. It's, you know, we'll be patient.
I bet that was a surprise.
Well, I didn't mean that how it sounded.
No. Hey, you knew he was listening at least.
Right.
No, that's funny, but I've got this picture in my head of this guy.
Wait a minute.
This?
And where is she?
Right.
Yeah.
Right station.
He's an engineer, and you know how they are.
So. Yeah.
Yes.
You say 12:15, you mean 12:15.
It's not the way it works here.
That's and
now, I asked you to be here at 12:15.
Oh,
we don't like to announce that you're going to be on unless we know you're announced.
Okay.
Been there, done that, got burned.
Mm-hmm.
So that's okay.
Yeah. We were here and ready, and
we're loose.
Yeah.
We're loose. We've been doing this for 26 years. If we have to tighten up, we'll just quit.
There you go. I'm with you.
Yeah. But sorry if she scared you.
I'll be home tomorrow, honey.
There you go. Oh, she's staying out now. Okay.
Yeah. Yes, we will send her home to you. We're not going to keep her.
I'm a feeling he can find her if he wants.
Well, that's
yeah,
true.
Probably.
That's true.
He has ways.
Gotcha.
Don't we know?
So yeah. Tell us a little bit about the band, Prime Directive.
Prime Directive. Oh, I played in a succession of bands over my numerous years in Austin.
Sure.
Prime Directive at this point is a 3-piece band. It consists of our drummer and singer, Jim Lewis. I've known Jim. Jim was the first person I met when I moved to Austin.
Well, there you go.
In 1980.
Wow.
I've known Jim a long time.
She makes lasting relationships. I like
yes,
that.
Yes, she does.
Yeah, don't know a lot of people, but the ones I know, I keep around.
Hey, amen.
And the second person other than myself. His name is Steve Perry. He's gotten some grief about that name.
I'm sure he has.
Is that really you? Are you really that Steve Perry? Yeah, right.
So, yeah.
Steve plays bass and guitar and sings. And I play bass and I play guitar and I sing. So we have a nice versatile little group going. We play around Austin. We play some of our own music and we play some cover songs. Steve is a writing partner of mine. He's co-written some of the songs that we're playing tonight.
Oh, nice.
He, like Rick, comes from more of a jazz rock background, and I come from more of a folk and blues background. So when you mesh the two together, you come up with some interesting
It's kind of a neat things. Sound.
It should be working.
I've known
Steve for 23 years, I think.
Oh, wow.
So,
long time.
Yeah, we.
That's great.
Yeah,
is the name from? Is that a Star Trek thing?
It's a Star Trek reference.
Yay.
Yes.
Okay, uh-huh. You're accepted. You're accepted in the group.
Well, I tell you, when I walked into the studio tonight, the producers were sitting around the table, and the first thing I heard was something about a Klingon.
She's right.
Yeah, and so the first thing I had said is, "Hi, I'm Shelley, and the name of the band that I play in Austin is Prime Directive." And then they all liked me. So.
We told her that she was welcome back anytime.
Right, and they may regret that because
with or without Heather.
Uh-oh, them fighting words.
Wes, you're being mean.
No, I was just making fun. Uh-huh.
So, yes, Prime Directive is a Star Trek reference. We are
awesome.
All Star Trek. We are all Trekkers, some of us more so than others. I think Jim, our drummer Jim, would argue that he is the Trekkerist?
Of all. Of all of them.
Okay. Trekkery. I can't say Trekkie. No, we can't see, He's not supposed to say Trekkie anymore. So it's either Trekkerist or Trekkeryist. I'm sure that Jim will let me know which.
Trekkeryist kind of rolls
Trekkeryist. Okay. Okay.
So that's where that came from.
Call in and tell us.
No. Yeah.
I've been playing bass in another band called Strike.
Okay.
With a couple of other friends of mine that I've known for 20 some odd years, Don Fawn and Colton Smith and Laura Harrell.
Is it the same flavor or is it a different flavor?
A little bit different flavor.
Yep.
It's rock, but it's a little more headbangy, maybe?
Sure, okay.
A little harder. More headbangier. Okay.
Headbangier.
Kind of think Rush meets Ozzy Osbourne.
Yeah, that's cool.
And that's been fun too. It's been fun rediscovering some old friends and touching base again and getting together and doing what we like to do and not what we have to do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And pretending that we're children again. I mean, or maybe we still are.
Pretending.
Okay. Yeah, garage band. Yeah, I'll go back to your 14-year-old roots. Why not?
That's right. You know, and when you've known someone for 20 years, it's there's nothing you can't say or do.
That's so pretty much it.
It's comfortable.
Even the Pope isn't safe.
I'll just say it's comfortable.
Yeah. That's awesome. Well, what's the next song?
Next song is called "Go Home." Maybe we should. Okay. Nah, I was gonna say, no. Maybe we should have saved this one for last.
Yeah. It's not time for that yet.
Well,
we still got an hour to go.
Oh my goodness! No, I didn't bring enough.
They
songs.
Don't have an hour to go.
No, we don't have an hour to go. But
well, this song is called "Go Home." Before you make me want you, before you make me need you, don't be surprised if I close the door before I let you leave. Go home before I cry out for you to touch me, before I put your hands where they're not supposed to be. Don't be surprised if I close the door before I let you leave. Every time you pass close by, I feel the flame that'll never, never die. Tell me, what am I supposed to do? Every little bit of me wants you. Every little bit of me wants you, baby. Every little bit of me wants you. Because you don't belong in my bed, but I can't stop what's in my head. So don't be surprised if I close the door and I lock the door and I bolt that door
before I let you leave. Before I let you leave. You're not gonna leave me, baby. You're not gonna leave me, honey, no. No, 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 no.
It's fun playing these songs just with a guitar because I'm used to playing the songs with an entire band and
sure.
amplification and more amplification and
sure.
Microphones and effects and everything. And it's almost a kind of a naked feeling just
yeah,
being here. Not that we're naked, but.
Well, it's kind of a raw.
On this show,
yeah,
it's having
a raw.
Yeah,
yeah.
We're
raw. Yeah.
But you know, I forget. This is going to be a tough segment because. I'm sitting here watching everything and listening at the same time, and
right.
I'm thinking, wow. And I'm like, oh, wait a minute. The audience isn't going to see that. You know? Just with a look or her finger moves or whatever, he just kind of melts into whatever she's
mm-hmm.
doing. And
mm-hmm.
it's just like a normal, natural, you know, everyday thing for y'all. But the audience didn't see that. They just think y'all are well-rehearsed. And, you know.
Well, I trust Rick mm-hmm. implicitly, and that's why I asked him
pretty
to do
obvious.
This
yeah.
with me because... I wasn't going to do it by myself.
Aw, chicken.
Well, yeah.
I don't blame you.
Well, I mean, there's a certain simpatico that happens when, you know, two musicians have a great deal of chemistry. And I
oh,
have
yeah.
found that, you know, in folks that I've sung with and played with and that sort of thing. So it's cool.
Well, before we
ruined my pun there, I was going to say, okay, when we met, we had chemistry together that was in junior high. Am I right? Chemistry class.
Probably, yeah.
It was. It was Ladner and
nice.
I love it, but no.
Yeah. Well, I do remember in high school cutting biology, too, and sneaking into the band room and watching you and the jazz band play and... Mm-hmm. Kurt Zeck, if he's out there. Hi, Kurt. We're watching. Yeah. My friend Linda and I, we would. Mm-hmm. We were naughty sometimes, but who isn't?
It's the way to go.
It's nice to play these songs in a stripped-down version sometimes. But I, before Rick and I, or before I asked Rick to do the show with me, and he agreed, when's the last time we've seen each other?
Oh my goodness! Right after I was out of college,
25 years.
Look, we're matchmakers. We brought them together.
I know.
Violin, fiddle, meet the guitar.
Right.
Okay, this works.
But I couldn't imagine anybody I would rather have doing this with me because something about having a fiddle.
Oh God!
Just
yeah.
works.
Yeah.
More like a wonderful aspect of okay, we're picking up right where we had. We
that too,
off,
right.
Yeah,
of,
if you hadn't told the story, nobody would have guessed.
Yeah.
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 Wow.
And you know someone since you're 8, you can mm-hmm. go 25 years without seeing them and then
that's true.
Pick up again. So.
Jeez.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I forgot the next question I was going to ask you.
Well, it must not have been very important
yeah.
then.
Because you were waiting to hear music, important. You know.
Yeah, exactly. Let's have another song.
No another song. Oh, my goodness.
Well, she's used to singing. He's
yeah.
used to playing.
I was going to say, I'm usually the one singing the whole
usually,
time. So
yeah, she like... usually has something to lean back on once in a while.
Oh, that's okay. No, I switched chairs with Jim because the original chair I sat in had armrests. And as any guitar player knows, you can't play a guitar with armrests. So I swapped, and then I realized I'm sitting on a chair with no back. So.
Yeah. Well, you could move back to the wall, and we can scoot the mic to you, but then you can't
go.
See the table. So
no.
If I was doing this properly, I'd be standing.
Yeah. People don't think about standing here. You can stand and do stuff here.
Yeah.
The mics will follow you around the room.
Every vocal teacher I've ever had is...
Singing,
is not happy
is
with
not
me
good.
Right now.
Yeah. Singing and sitting,
sitting and slumping, and not using
right.
my diaphragm
not
as
using
I should.
Diaphragm.
This is different. It's a lot of fun. I like it.
Well, I like it. You like it.
You're giving me the bug.
I'm giving you the bug. Okay, good.
Oh, good.
Good.
I have been trying to do some open mic. Mm-hmm. type things up in Austin, and now I think I want to do some more. So
yeah.
You all have inspired me, and I'll give you a shout out.
Yeah.
There's about 15 open mic nights in Austin every night. And one of these days, I'll have to drag Rick up and we'll.
Yeah, that would
go
be cool.
It doesn't take much to drag me to Austin.
Well, there you go.
Really? Maybe we could do a caravan. You drag him up.
Let's all go.
That's right. Oh, not Saturday night, though. Oops.
No. Well, like I said, any given night of the week.
Yeah.
Plenty of music. Too much, some would say, but.
Nah. Never has been such a thing.
Such
too much music.
Or
no.
Too many musicians.
No.
No? Okay.
No.
No. You're right. I say go for it. I mean, if you want to call yourself a musician, you're a musician.
Unless you're me.
If you're inspired to be a musician, you're a musician, and that's.
I'd like to note that the cheesecake, while it was being eaten, did not clash with any of the notes we were playing.
I noticed. I was watching that.
Innate ability.
There you go.
Blend right in.
I'll stick to directing.
Yeah, okay, directing. Got it. Yeah. Well, play us some more of that sweet fountain, will you?
Oh. Yeah. Okay. This song's a little bit different. It's. A different time signature. I think it's the only song I've ever written in this time signature, which is probably not interesting to anybody except
us musicians.
Other musicians. Even that, they're probably just
they're on
yawn.
The edge of their
who
seats
cares?
Now, okay, what is she going to come
yeah,
with? Five sevenths enough.
There you go.
No numbers. No sevens. I do have a song with sevens and fives in mind, but yeah. it's
do you have a song with birthdays in mind? No.
Nobody has
those.
Oh, yes. Yes. It's always so much fun to play happy birthday 25 times a night.
Oh,
when
I'm
you're
sure
out playing.
It is.
It's fun. It's nice to help somebody celebrate their birthday.
There you go.
So, but you got to watch it because otherwise you'll end up playing 4 hours of Happy Birthday.
Oh, God, right. Yes. No, one for everybody in the house
yeah,
at one
right,
time.
Right. Exactly. We actually had to start doing that.
Yeah.
But I digress.
Shall we?
Yes.
This song is called You Know.
You know me in passion, you know me in pain. You know me at peace and you know me insane. You know how the universe spins when I strain. And I know you the same. I know you the same, yeah. Walk on and talk on, you'll never be free. No more than I will from the torments I flee. The walls they close in till it's too dark to see. Do you dare disagree? Do you dare disagree? Yeah. Da-da-da. I know you elated, I know you in fear. I know how you run from the things you hold dear. The choice isn't mine, but the answer is clear. And the moment is near. Yes, the moment is near. La-da-da-da. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. I know you excited, I know you mundane.
I know when you're cruel and I know you're humane. I know there are times when my hopes are in vain. 'Cause life can't be explained. Life just can't be explained, no.
It just keeps getting better.
Thank you.
It does.
Awesome. And I remembered the question I was going to ask you.
Oh, good.
Hey, it just took a little music, you know, to bring it out.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you what's your dream, your wish, your goal for your music? Where do you want to see this going? I know I just asked a hard question.
Well, I do it. This sounds going to sound weird, but I do it because I have to do it. I mean, it has to be done. For me,
it's in you. It has to
It's in me. It has to come out. Sometimes I feel like it's not even coming out of me. It's just coming
through
me because I just some of the things that I write, I have no personal connection to the words anymore. It feels like someone else wrote them, but obviously I was feeling something when I wrote them. Maybe it sounds selfish, but I don't feel like I do it for anybody else. I mean, of course, there was the time when I wanted to be the rock star and sell a million gold records and tour and play sold out stadiums. But, I do it because it's just part of what I am. And if other people like it and it brings pleasure to other people, then that's even better. That's a bonus.
There you go. Well, I know you've made all of us happy.
She's succeeding.
We're all grinning, so that's good.
I'm going to hate to see the hour end.
Yeah. I don't know. What time is it?
We've got probably time for one more song, I think.
Wow, how perfect.
Wes is in here looking for
couldn't have timed it better if we tried.
Yeah.
That's good because we don't really have any other songs other than one that I sent to Rick. I said, well, listen to this one because we might have time to play it at the end, but we never worked on it. We never practiced it.
Wow.
And I was...
So this is going to be interesting.
No, it's not this one. We're not going to do that
okay,
one.
Okay, good.
No. that one we're not going to do.
This time. This time.
I would have chickened out anyway.
Oh, wait a minute.
No, it's this one actually is a little present for you.
Oh.
Because we know you like this one.
Okay.
And so I'm actually going to pipe up and sing with them.
Oh, okay. Wow. What a way to close.
Actually, Heather's going to do most of the singing, as in almost all of it.
I'm going to try.
Okay. I'm just going to sit back and listen.
Yep.
Okay. That'd do you all some good. What's the name of
old woman named after my mother? My old man is another child that's grown old. If dreams were thunder, lightning was desire, this old house would have burned down a long time ago. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to believe in this living is just a hard way to go. When I was a young girl, I had me a cowboy. Wasn't much to look at, just a free rambling man.
long time. No matter how I tried, those years just flew by like a broken down dam. Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Flies in the kitchen, I can hear them buzzing. And I ain't done nothing since I woke up today. How the hell can a person go to work in the morning, come home in the evening, and have nothing to say? Make me an angel that flies from Montgomery. Make me a poster of an old rodeo. Just give me one thing that I can hold on to. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go. Leaving this living is just a hard way to go. To believe in this living is just a hard way to go.
Speaking of Bonnie Raitt.
Wow.
What a way to go.
I love that song.
Yeah, you know me.
Cool.
John Prine wrote that song.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Bonnie Raitt just...
She took it to town.
She did. I like their duet when he sings the second verse.
Yeah. The first time I heard that was, you know, for Artifice.
Artifice.
I was like, that's kind of a cool little song. It's like, okay.
That's one way of putting it.
Get it out of there.
Well, you know.
Well, you know, once in a while the ex comes along.
You know, anyway.
But no, that's a great song.
It is. Thank you so much.
Well, and now I can keep
you.
It, you know.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go.
All right.
So, because even if KPFT keeps it online for 30 days, so your friends can listen to it, but GCAM keeps it on forever.
Ooh.
Right.
She keeps
they
the
go
archive.
To GCAM.org anytime they want to and hear it. So.
So when they dig up the radio station 3,000 years from now.
Right.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
What's
yeah,
this?
That's where they'll end up in a time capsule.
Oh. You know,
right. Yeah, a time capsule will open in 2023.
Oh, violins were green back then.
Yes.
Never knew.
Right.
They're what? What is that? That's a violin? Oh, yeah. I never saw one before.
Exactly.
How long have you had that violin?
Oh, my goodness. I bought this one off of Robert Herridge. He used to play for Mickey Gilley.
Okay.
And he played a blue violin. Well, this is that blue violin. You see some of the paint jobs still originally.
Cool.
And
yes,
had it modified just a little bit in Colorado, and then it got demodified. It was a 5-string, and now it's back to a 4-string due to a cataclysmic collision.
Unfortunate event.
Yeah, I was looking at that going, gives new meaning to the phrase, the dog ate my homework. It looks like he went after your violin.
There used to be more here, yes.
It would double for a weapon.
Yes.
Straight to exactly. On your way home.
Very
there you go.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, thank you all for coming tonight. This has just been fabulous.
Thank you for having us.
Such a success.
Yeah.
It's an honor to be here. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. It was a great deal of fun. Thank you so much, yes. Shelley Miller and Rick. Oh, sorry, I'm going to butcher it. Rick O with his green violin. Hooray. And please tune in next time we do this wonderful Hot Artists in H-Town, the second Saturday in March. we are going to be having jazz fusion artist Wayne Jackson with us and children's author Lee Porter with us. So it'll be this should be a lot of fun.
That's right. Yeah,
and
exciting.
We'll have you guys on again.
Oh, yeah.
I promise.
Trust me. We
oh, I would love to come back. I would love to come back anytime.
Okay, awesome. We got that recorded now. We
can yes. yes. It's been great fun. Ready. Hold you okay. to that.
It's been great fun, and it's been an honor, and I appreciate all you do. I appreciate public radio and the opportunity for people such as ourselves.
Such as ourselves. Yeah. Hey, they let us on.
Do yeah, this. There you go.
Yes. I think Wes has some eggs at music for us, doesn't he?
I might.
I knew.
I have a surprise for Heather, though.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh. Uh-oh. Your mic's off, honey. I started to yell something earlier when she said,
I love
like,
you,
no,
Wes.
Don't do
it. You did not go there.
Yeah, you did. I saw it. And you got the double whammy. It
oh,
stayed
I,
off.
Oh.
Yeah, it wasn't a perfect ending to a perfect session.
Exactly.
Wow. All right.
Wait, what are we doing here?
I think we'll do a little Bronski beat.
Okay.
Just to take us out of here. And
Back in
we'll,
time.
Yeah, we're
Rick,
gonna...
That's making Rick happy. He's bebopping all over the place here.
There you go. So we'll play some music, and I think after the musical outro and all that, we'll probably have some roundtable coming up here very shortly.
Oh, so, good.
Here we go.
Sad and lonely place. Yeah, you had your own rules about playing the game. But any day you could walk away and feel no pain. Now look at yourself. Yeah, you're all hung up on somebody else. And in your eyes I can see all the signs of the misery that you laid on me. Now your head's a little lower and you walk a little slower. And you don't talk so loud. Now you've gotten wise. Yeah, you know how love can build you up one moment and the next. Cut you down to size. And you discover that all the told you was a bunch of lies. Then you know you have to cry some. So bad you want to feel the security of a love you once had. Ooh, but I can't open doors, and no other arms take the place of hers. Because no other arms could ever take the place of yours. So what can I tell?
Georgia, the song of you is as sweet and clear as moonlight through the pines. I said, Georgia, an old sweet song keeping Georgia on my mind. other eyes smile tenderly. Still in peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. And I sit in Georgia. Keeping Georgia on my mind. Other arms reach out to me. Other eyes smile so tenderly. In peaceful dreams I see the road leads back to you. Georgia, oh, Georgia. No peace, no peace I find. It's just an old sweet song.
Experience the magic of John Denver's music at the KPFT fundraiser. Singer-songwriter Chris Collins performs a tribute to John Denver on Sunday, January 26th at 3 p.m. at Millbend Coffee House in the Woodlands. Thought-provoking and uplifting, this music is perfect for toe-tapping and sing-along. Celebrate and be inspired by some of the most meaningful lyrics while supporting your community radio station. Visit millbend.org or call 281-350-3052 for information or tickets. This is KPFT Houston.
He was born in the summer of his 27th year, coming home to a place he'd never been before. He left yesterday behind.
Was that?
The PSA, just say your thing.
Your thing. You're listening to After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 90.3 Livingston, and always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. And Wes, we are in stereo. KPFT Houston. Let's check us out on Facebook.
Oh, what a long set of music we did there. Oops, I forgot to push that button.
Ah.
What are you doing?
I'm trying to get the microphone where I can be.
Oh, okay. Well, just so everybody knows, we did. We started off our little set with Bronski Beat, Small Town Boy. Followed
if
by
you don't know that, if you don't listen to the show long enough.
Yeah. Followed by Nona Hendrix. This was Jimmy's choice. Didn't you know you'd have to cry sometime? Followed by Gwen Avery and Georgia On My Mind. You missed.
It's close.
Jimmy Somerville doing Hurts So Good. Followed by, and Jimmy's the only one that can say this.
Gaia de Glabella.
Yeah, that one too.
Bola.
Yeah. Needs a Little Sugar in My Bowl.
Personally, I thought that song was the one dedicated to me.
Well, no, that was at the beginning of the show today. And then, of course, we went ahead and opened up our next segment here of Roundtable with Tentress and Queen for a Day. And they're all in there talking and while I'm trying to do this, and nobody could hear them in the least bit.
It's probably a good thing you didn't hear us.
Chris, that in your case, that would be sugar in your blood, not sugar in your
blood. No. Chris doesn't have sugar in his blood. He has blood in his sugar.
In his sugar.
That's
yeah.
It. There yes. You go. Just like there's alcohol in my bloodstream.
Blood in your sugar vein. Yes.
Hold on. I got to pull up the story we're opening up this because everyone seems to like this interesting little story I found. It's the closest. We're not doing a traditional round table tonight, but there's one story that was just
doing.
It's too delicious to pass up.
It's too much to pass up.
It's too delicious for us to pass up.
It is so tasty. It is fattening.
Exactly. So yes, as Chris said, we're not doing classic round table.
Do I need to get the button ready?
Yes. No. Maybe. I don't know. We'll see.
The funny thing is, I found this not only on the Chronicle website.
Oh, really?
But
actually, he must have been a ho ho ho.
It was on the front page that they listed this link, and you know that's what you're scrolling to the Chronicle website, and on the side, and there's an article that's called "Police Find Treasure Trove in Teen's Bum."
Oh, I saw that.
In his bum bum.
The funny thing
in
was,
bum bum.
I found that on Yahoo, and it linked to Cron.
Pennsylvania police found something when they took a suspected teenage drunk driver into custody. Buried treasure.
What in the butt?
Back in December, Christopher Scheller, 18, appeared intoxicated when he crashed into a tree in southern York County. After being taken to the hospital, x-rays discovered something odd in Scheller's rectum.
I bet.
A closer look revealed the following. I'm sorry, uncovered the following.
Sphincter swag?
Yes, that's it.
Four bracelets.
He can't get over
four necklaces, 11 ladies' rings, one socket wrench,
and a partridge in a pear tree.
And
yes,
a bag of synthetic marijuana.
Go ahead, Skippy. Ask the question.
How does he fit a wrench? Well, see, his head wasn't up there.
I know why he crashed.
I got it moved the wrong way.
The cramps must have been.
Well, wait. It was a socket wrench, so it's a little bit thinner.
Is it metric or?
I have one question.
Yes, but don't they have a thingy that goes
socket?
This way?
Deep
head.
Well, they didn't say if the socket was on it. They just said it was a socket wrench.
Did it have the adapter?
I figured out why he was distracted when he crashed. He was trying to figure out, is it lefty, loosey, tighty, righty?
Given the number of things that were up there.
I like that one.
Given the number of things that were up there, I'm guessing lefty, loosey.
He better be lefty, loosey when he started.
Yeah.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, taking bets now. How many people think he can take the Great American Challenge?
My assumption for why the socket wrench is, I believe that, you know, any port in a storm, because he was concealing this stuff while police were trying to apprehend him. So I'm going to assume that he used the socket wrench as kind of the plunger to try and insert.
Ask you me?
Yeah. And, you know, then later on he could turn around and use the little hook part to extract.
He's fishing for sphincter swag.
Yeah.
The logic is just... I don't see it.
This falls under how did that get up there on our pillar.
But on the good news is that...
On this one, I'd have to modify that one and say, why is that?
the good news that comes out of this is that it's because the socket wrench does have a lifetime warranty. Snap-on did post the kid's bail.
So it wasn't a Craftsman, huh?
Yeah, was it Craftsman or
Craftsman Husky?
No. Craftsman you can actually exchange at Sears for a newer one.
And they don't ask questions.
No, they don't. See?
He needs to find someone who will exchange without asking any questions.
Wait, so they don't ask questions?
Walmart takes anything back, right?
And of course, the picture of this astute young man.
Astute. You are giving this human so much credit.
He looks a little constipated.
Gee, I wonder why.
I wonder.
I thought he looked like Shia LaBeouf.
That wasn't what I was going to say.
Were his eyes a deep brown color?
Well, you see, now I want to see what Wes was going to say.
Oh, we're waiting. Oh, my.
Fantasizing?
The train just derailed.
Oh, wait. Hold on. We have an explanation now.
Oh, Lord.
I'm being completely serious. I clicked on the link to the original website, which is out of Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Hanover.
Harrisburg.
It says Hanover.
Ladies and gentlemen.
The television station is Harrisburg.
But the byline says Hanover.
That's the town that it occurred in. The television?
Bite me, bitch!
Hanover? Hanover? I thought a fan went in.
It could have.
The socket wrench was being used as a pot pipe.
Makes sense.
For the synthetic marijuana?
Yeah.
Yes.
Take away all paraphernalia, and potheads become the most amazing engineers.
Like they become MacGyver.
Yeah, exactly.
He initially refused to have the object removed. Let's see. He was taken to the hospital where the abnormality was found in his rectum. He initially refused to have the object removed, but eventually consented. And medical staff found a bag of synthetic marijuana, a socket wrench used for smoking, 4 bracelets, 4 necklaces, and 11 ladies' rings.
Wouldn't those hurt going in?
And as we said earlier, a partridge in a pear tree.
I would hope that none of those had diamonds on them.
Well, it wasn't Richard Gere, so it wasn't a gerbil.
On the first day of Christmas, the cable store for me.
Also, I'm really hoping that the bracelets weren't the hard, non-flexible ones.
You see, here's the thing I really want to know.
With links in them as opposed to bangles.
You see, were there stones in there?
You just hurt Chris.
No. I have got another thought of where I'm going.
Somewhere.
Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord.
I thought I saw something run by the door.
I just thought that, there should have been a certain singer in the emergency room with there because that way Lord could have seen a diamond in the flesh. Just try and keep her from cutting her teeth on wedding rings.
That would leave a bad taste in your mouth, wouldn't it?
Boy, that was a royal pain.
Oh, wow.
You like my follow-up?
Yeah. No. You two need to, the two of you. It's like Laurel and Hardy up there. Abbott and Costello.
Oh, the good old days.
Yes, and they're even older than I am.
If you notice here, the website, that television station is in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania.
Okay, so going by the byline.
So this occurred in Hanover.
It occurred in Heidelberg Township.
Did they establish that he had robbed a house with this stuff? I mean, why would somebody have that much jewelry up the tokus?
The police later learned that he stole the jewelry from a home and apparently concealed the items in his body as the police officer was approaching the scene of the crash.
I have to give him props for shoving that much up in such a short time.
How does somebody hide that much stuff up there as the police are approaching?
It's like that Mr. Potato Head doll you had when you were a kid and you put all the parts in the back. Wrench.
Okay, but here's the other thing I can say is this. Between how pretty boy he looks, mm-hmm. and after what he did as a crime, he's going to be very popular when he gets to prison.
I was going to say, if he could take the socket wrench in there already, he must already be popular.
Another thing is, how did he fit all that up there dry?
Don't ask.
My guess is he was not drunk enough, and the old Bill Cosby thing is, when they talk about make sure you have clean underwear in case of an accident, because the first thing you say is, oh, and then you do.
And then you do. Yeah,
it's possible there's that.
In which case...
He may have pre-looped.
And exactly.
He might have known he was going to steal and then just said, okay, here it goes. Oh. And then it just kind of slid all up.
And unlike most accidents, he was probably physically incapable of
having one.
Having one when he got into that crash. So.
Not enough pressure.
Not enough. Yeah.
Maybe he didn't have enough metal in his diet.
Not enough iron?
No.
I don't know about...
if you want iron in your diet, it has to go through the other one.
I don't know about other people, but after an accident, I'm pretty sure I'd be pretty...
Pretty tight?
Tight, yeah.
However, you do know it's the first thing you do when you're you die.
All your muscles.
I think just kind of
all your muscles let loose and. Yeah, I am aware of that. But when you die, that's the other thing.
I don't
it's see a loot explosion.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, so.
Goldfinger.
Okay.
Well, at least it
in this case, I don't think it was gold.
Black gold?
Five golden rings. Oh.
And they weren't gold when they came out.
No,
This is now left.
They
might
have had a nice patina to them, I'm sure.
They probably looked a little more bronze when they maybe copper.
With a hint of red.
Oh. Okay, we've got to move on.
The image. I can't.
Okay. Best segue ever. We've got to move on. So, on to our actual topic for the night. Which
we have one?
Yes, I know. It's amazing. We don't need certain people to give us topics.
Oh, we're going to hear about that later.
Yeah, I know.
I don't care.
The person in question is asleep. Anywho, so tonight we are talking about peer pressure. And this is the part where I throw out a whole bunch of statistics that most of you actually probably won't listen to her and are just waiting for us to tell embarrassing stories about stuff we did. Because that's what's going to happen.
Yay.
Time for some peer pressure statistics. 41% of all teens are pressured to be mean to others. 25% of teen girls, we're going to put air quotes around that, are pressured to do drugs/alcohol. 23% of teen girls are pressured to have sex. 67% of teen girls are pressured to dress a certain way. We're putting air quotes around all of these. 44% of all teens are pressured to lie, steal, or cheat. And this is all from Lisa Freeman, and I'm pretty sure she pulled these statistics and just put girl where teens was supposed to be on those three. Because I kind of looked at the statistics earlier.
She pulled all these she pulled all these numbers out of her jewelry box?
Most likely.
Yes.
But if I pull statistics from somewhere, then, you know. It seems more relevant.
Whose jewelry box was she pulling from?
Oh, here we go again.
And we went full circle.
So here's the thing. Everybody in this room at some point was a teenager.
Yes.
Yes.
And some of us more recently than others.
Yeah.
Hi.
Harrow.
But
actually,
even in my time... Those statistics seems a little bit low on the low side.
Yeah, yeah. That was my immediate thought.
Given the number of people I knew in school who were, you know, getting high or drunk.
Yeah, but there's not that many stories of Cro-Magnons actually getting that
you see, but
pressure.
Here's
my thing on the statistics. How many teens are honestly going to tell the truth about
the truth
that?
About
true, yeah. And I tell you, that one right there is gay middle age already, so...
Not yet.
We have a quiet, sassy one.
Got a few more years for that, sweetie.
No, I said gay middle age, about 25.
Anywho.
What does that 40. Make me? One of the Astari from
No, you're part of the the Council of Elders.
Okay, so back on to the actual topic if we can.
Now quit trying to peer pressure them to stay on topic.
I know, I'm so terrible.
I know, talk about the topic.
Peer pressure. Now that I've made that terrible joke. And everybody's gone quiet.
Now that we're back to... Yeah. So
the reason yes I got the head thump.
So
the reason why I decided to bring up peer pressure as the topic for tonight was because I actually recently had a major run-in with this. As certain people know, I have been doing air quotes, drag at Meteor. And so the week before, somebody else did my makeup because they said, hey, I want to paint your face. And I was like, sure, why not? So they had glued my eyebrows done, covered them up, everything. And so the next week, since everybody enjoyed it so much and I decided if you can't beat them, join them, I decided that I would try this myself.
And how did that work out for you?
Yeah, I glued them down, couldn't cover them up, got angry, and now I have no eyebrows. I pulled a Matt Smith. You may call me Matilda. Or the doctor.
Are they delicate?
They are very delicate. They're nothing, scared Chris? Very easily. Mm-hmm.
But you don't have anything for that one, Chris?
Okay. But I will not be pressured into making jokes.
Oh. Come on, you know you want it.
You're going to do it anyway.
Just give him time.
And it took a while for me to figure out that the only reason that if I had just done what I usually do and made my usual amount of money, it all would have been fine, and I would not have to draw my eyebrows on.
So now you can just draw an expression on your face.
Oh, no, here's the future plan. I'm going to have one that's normal, and then I'm going to have one that's just always raised. That way I'm questioning everything.
Or you could always do the angry eyebrows.
That's also a plan. Actually, when Michael came over to cheer me up, which he should be by eventually,
if he's up to it,
he actually came into my room, and the first thing he said was, "We need to get you a bandana. That way, you can stand on the street corner, cover up your hair, and act like a cancer patient."
Great!
Oh my God! Oh.
Wow!
So here's a peer pressure.
Yes.
You know. Most people associate peer pressure with your teenage years.
Yes.
You know, I mean, a lot of people wanting you to do all of the stuff that you listed there.
Yes. So,
obviously, it's not just that. And in our communities, our, you know, the GLBTs,
yes.
You know, there,
it's
there
constantly
is
there.
Always somebody who wants you to be part of the crowd and be and do this or say this about somebody or drink this or do these drugs.
Or listen to this kind of music.
Or listen to this kind of music because you're not cool unless you do this. You're not part of. And it's like.
And it's even in the intro of After Hours. Yes. We, as a gay community, a lot of our community. Mm-hmm. Likes to pressure people into coming out.
Right.
And some people just aren't ready to do that.
And that happened to me a lot when I was still in the closet. Mm-hmm. You know, if you could believe that. Like I said, openly fabulous, but never really understanding what the hell it was all about.
There's not even a walk-in closet that can see your floor man.
Thank you, Chris. No, but
he didn't even come out of the broom closet either.
But there was this mentality of some of the people that I was around at the time in college that, well, because I'm out, you should be out too, and there shouldn't be any excuse. Well, easy for you to say. You had an easier coming out process than I did.
It's like with our little Skippy over here.
Yes.
Our little Skippy does not have a very accepting family.
Right.
And hey, his friends are kind of not nearly accepting either. But we're not going to say, hey, you need to come out to them because we understand his situation.
But, you know, like I told him, if the day ever comes,
but
you just.
We love you.
Like I said, Skippy, if the day ever comes that you have to tell your family or your friends, you just tell them, I'm laying pipe, but not the kind that, you know, my family does.
I'm laying pipes in a different area.
Second one! I'm gonna get a record.
They're all Southern Baptists, so I'm planning to do it on Easter.
We have a date.
There might be a new crucifixion on Easter. It'll happen on Easter as opposed to... Anyhow.
Sweetie, yes. Just be careful with that. I can speak from personal experience. I grew up in a Baptist household. Granted, they were from the North, but still... They were not the easiest... They were not the easiest of people to come out to, but in time, hopefully, if they're truly the Southern Baptists or Christians and such, they will accept you, but not necessarily agree with it. Like my parents have done. They accept me, but they don't agree with my lifestyle.
See, yeah. And that is a phrase I can't stand. Agreeing with Oh, well, I cannot stand that phrase. Yeah. It drives me nuts.
You brought up
too late.
How do you agree with somebody's?
Have fun phrasing that to a Christian, please.
You brought up if
I've met
good.
Your family.
I have too.
A special bunch of humans. They're a very special bunch of humans. I you know, I wasn't the kind of peer pressures I didn't give in to when
yes.
I was a kid. Sure, I didn't talk that much about. I didn't do a whole lot of coming out.
Right.
I knew I was when I was 14, but most people did not until later in high school or whatever.
Because there wasn't really exposure.
But I never brought it. I never.
We got distracted. Shiny object.
I never succumbed to the whole, let's drink and get drunk and get high and all of that. I never did that.
Same here.
I watched so many of my friends succumb to that whole deal of, it's a good time. You should do it, you know. And I also watched some of them never make it to graduation.
Yeah, I had a friend one night that we had gone out, and we had gone back to his friend's house, and they were, you know, doing lines of coke or whatever. He says, oh, you need to try it. I said, no, that isn't my thing. Mm-hmm. One night he went out and got stoned with some friends of ours, and he was like, oh, you need. I said, no, I don't need to try anything. That's your decision. You do that. You keep that to yourself. Second of all, it isn't even yours to be offering. So if they offer, that's different. I can always turn them down too. But the thing that I was getting at is that, you know, that mm-hmm. I don't have to do anything because you're doing it or because, right. you know, you want to get me hooked so I can buy you your junk. No.
Succumbing... For so many, succumbing to peer pressure is saying that somebody else is saying who you should be.
Right.
And what you should do and how you should act.
Right.
And it's very and it's great to be part of a group.
Yes.
And it's great to, you know, be accepted by some groups and fit into some groups. But if you're doing it and you're risking some part of yourself, health, mental, physical,
right.
Then it's a problem. Then it's like, why are you doing this to yourself? You know, and it's and you know the insecurities that come with, you know, if I don't fit in, if I'll be over here all by myself alone.
Right. I have a friend that I saw tonight, as a matter of fact, and we had just kind of briefly said hi to each other, and they asked me, well, why? They asked me, you know, asked him, well, why haven't you introduced him to us? And I was joking with him. I said, well, it's because he's embarrassed to know me because he doesn't fit the, you know, he fits more the twink, you know, stereotype than he does the leather stereotype. Mm-hmm. Although I'm sure over time he may or may not come to terms with that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, so now that Micah's here.
Hi.
Howdy, dear God. What's going on?
Howdy, Michael.
We're talking about peer pressure.
Well, no, yes. I want to tell them my official title for this episode since their headphones are not on. Haha. It is officially called The Sphincter Bandit, and peer pressure is bad. Okay.
Okay. Okay, Mr. Garrison.
That's my official title for it. But yes, we're talking about the different forms of peer pressure, and Merlin brought up the excellent point of, it's not just in your teens. It's all over, especially in our community. And here's a word from Michael.
I normally avoid talking about work because, you know, all them drunk people
yes.
and all of their folly.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, I'm having to edit myself so much right now.
Yes.
You have no idea.
Yes.
So I have people come in all the time looking at various toys and making a big deal about it. Oh, we should get this as a gag gift for so-and-so. We should, you know, and it's this big production about how I would never do something like that because they're with their friends and
yes,
they don't want to look like
tonight.
A kinky freak or anything with big air quotes.
Yeah.
loosely attached.
They call that freak. We call that fun.
Right.
And it's one of those things. And these are people in their 20s, in their 30s, in their 40s, you know, all acting like various toys. I don't know what I can say on air. acting like various toys are just, oh my God, that's so crazy. I would never do any. And it's like, okay, thou protesteth too much.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have seen many a person go to those, you know, other places that also have those toys. And you know, a gaggle of them will walk in and the laugh fest begins and they talk about what they wouldn't do. And there's no way.
And
this
a week
would
later, one of them, is, back
one of them
something.
Is back exactly. buying something. Exactly. You know, and I see that same person coming back later. And because they are so terrified that their friends will know that this is really their thing, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, and the minute you're not being authentic, you're losing a part of yourself.
Exactly.
Yes, I mean, I have a friend who is an ex that is a kink bottom, but he still has this twink mentality, and I have to kind of, you know, edit myself around him and say, okay, you only do it at a certain time, sure, but you still have that desire to do it regardless.
And to me, the thing is less that you are... Not that I'm disagreeing in any way, shape, or form. You're still losing a part of yourself because you're not enacting on it. Right. But it's the act. It's not the act itself. It's the trauma. And I'm going to use the word trauma because I see this in so many people. And this is where I think when I meet a lot of people, they tell me I'm upfront and honest and all of these, you know, wonderful descriptors. Yeah. And I'm not trying to, you know. Overinflate my ego, but this is legitimately what people say. I put them at ease. And I think that's really because I'm okay with everything I do. I'm out there with everything that I do. And I understand that not everyone can be out 100% of the time with every part of their life.
Right.
But the more that you repress yourself, the harder it is for you to feel good about any part of yourself.
Yeah. Right.
And that trauma that can really lead to years of self-hate.
Right.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
Potentially never meeting the people in your life that could actually be really good and holding on to all of the people that won't be.
Right. Right.
And I'm pretty sure that the second I say this, every trans listener we have is going to be like, oh God, I know this story. It's pretty much exactly what's happened with most of us, trans people, gay people alike, but I'm going to use my own personal story in this. It's always been a constant, you have to wear this, you have to wear this, you have to wear this. Why?
Why?
Right. That suppresses a part of me. Why do I have to wear jeans when I would much rather be in a skirt? That's kind of a lie,
right.
But examples. So why should I have to do all of this? Here's the thing. I don't have to. That's not me. I stopped succumbing to that peer pressure, that, oh my God, what is everybody going to think? And oh God, there's a, I don't know why he's pointing
his finger.
And I want to point something out, because even though you have stopped giving in to that peer pressure, what is the conversation that we were having the other night?
I've already done that.
Okay.
We've already had that story.
Okay. Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
We did that. We talked about it. Yeah.
That's what spawned this entire thing.
Started.
Yay!
Yeah, that was the spark.
Yay! How I get topics.
That's the thing. You know, in a very... A significant part of the GLBT community is image conscious, is severely image conscious.
I find that especially in, you know, being a big man, you know, there's a certain expectation from society that, you know, I'm supposed to somehow just accept things as they are or be, you know, not stand up for myself and, hate to break it to you, but I'm just not going to sit back and take it. Yeah. It's not how I was raised. It's not how I was taught, you know.
You know, and the one other thing is it's not
it is peer pressure, and it comes from all your peers, mm-hmm. much like what I was pointing out to Haley. But also, I always feel bad, and we're going to get it minorly graphic. I always feel bad when people who are into me are into a certain act that starts with an F, and it's not the other.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. And in the community that I'm in, it has become this thing that it's almost expected that everybody's into it. And I'm not.
Yeah.
I have right. no desire whatsoever. And so even from the people who are, again, air quotes, part of my community.
Right.
I'm outside of that. And so it always feels like there's some peer pressure there to give in and join in this activity that I have no desire to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And now for a new voice.
Hello.
Hello.
Welcome aboard.
Hi, Chris. I worked for the oil field for a lot of years, about 7. And as Merlin was saying, peer pressure isn't just for teenagers. It's actually for adults, too. I'm out, very out, never hit it, not even in the oil field industry or anything. And that's a very, we're all men. And
yes, yes, I know.
And there was a lot of guys that would come up and, you know, all day long we'd work 12 hours and be, you know, we're gruff, we're, you know, look at those women walking by. I'm not sure what I'm allowed to say. And so
no four-letter words, no. Yeah, there
okay.
you
but we I can imagine, because
yes,
or the longer words that have those four
those
letter words in it,
all those calls and everything. Yeah, yeah.
You can say bitch.
Oh, okay, nice. And
that you can say, yes.
Okay, but then they would come to me later. Like one guy I worked with for over a year, and we ended up rooming on a job. And he came up to me the first night. He's like, "I need to talk to you." And he goes, "I just don't understand how you do it." I'm like, "I don't understand what you're talking about." He goes like, "I don't understand how you work with all these guys and everything, and you are who you are." And I'm like, "Well, I don't get pressured into anything. I don't get pressured to not be me." And he goes like, "Why?" And he's like, "Well, I'm gay and I'm in the closet and I've been gay most of my life, but I've had to hide it because this is the industry we work in." I'm like, "You don't have to hide it. There's no point. Why are you going to let anybody tell you who to be?" And
I work in a rather masculine field myself, and I understand that. Yeah, there's a certain degree of decorum.
Oh.
If you use a meat slinger, I don't want to hear about masculine.
Yes, I'm a sausage slinger, okay?
No, you're a meat hacker.
I didn't hear you complaining.
Oh. I don't know what you're talking about.
Come on, microphone it. Microphone it. Microphone it. Come on. Ah, so close.
I think you just hurt Wes. Anyhow.
Too late. No, but I'm saying the field I work in is considered rather masculine, and it's easy for me to slip into this, you know, talking sports and whatnot, but, some of my coworkers are like, "You really like football?" I'm like, "I keep up with it because it gives me something to talk about with my coworkers." Mm-hmm. You know, it isn't, you know, a fact of, you know, I'm a hardcore sports fan. I keep up with it for the simple fact I want to have something to talk about with my coworkers, because we're not all film buffs or, you know, arts fanatics, etc.
While you like Doctor Who, they like sports.
Right.
So if you want things to talk about, you talk about sports.
Exactly.
It's sort of a form of peer pressure, but you were willing to do it because you wanted to be able to...
I'm a sports fan to a certain degree.
It's not quite peer pressure, but it's that borderline.
Yes.
Which is very weird.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are jobs and you know, professions in life where people, where the larger group may not be accepting of who we are.
Right.
And so people, and I mean, in something like the job you were talking about, that Chris was talking about, we're talking about, you know, there is always the possibility that, you know, one day somebody's going to drop a wrench from a high place and cave his skull in, that kind of thing. I mean, there are real situations where fear is based in some possibility of reality, of a bad thing happening. And that's where that is that, you know, there are those places where if you have even the idea that you could be hurt by somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, succumbing to the idea of hiding who you are is a survival tactic, you know? As much damage as it may be doing to you on the inside, a survival tactic will, at least in the short term, like that, is keeping you alive, mm-hmm. is quite possibly keeping you alive. I mean, there are all kinds of professions which are considered the macho professions, or, you know, the things mm-hmm. where, you know, you're supposed to be the tough guy and all of this. And, of course, we now live in a world where more and more of those people who are in those professions
yes.
are people who are coming out of the closet, because we live in a different world than we used to. Not where it needs to be, but where it's getting to.
We're getting there little by little.
And so maybe at some point the peer pressure to be something you are not, to hide who you are, doesn't have to rule your life, you know?
Which makes me think, and I want everybody's honest opinion on this. Do you think that peer pressure will ever not be a major thing?
I think it's part of society. It's unfortunate, but it is.
I personally feel like it's up to the individual. I mean,
choose free will.
Exactly.
To a certain degree.
And I feel like, yes, society could be a lot better and things could change, but really, it's a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
It's a personal choice whether to give into it.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I got tired a long time ago, and oddly enough, most of my growing up, coming out experiences came way early on. And I have a lot of people still that look at me and they're like, how did you even do this? How did you come out so early? How are you in the communities you're in at the age that you're in? You know, I had someone 2-3 years ago look at me and go, how do you know discussing various fetish BDSM things?
Mm-hmm.
Be like, how do you already know you're into all of this? And I'm like, well, I tried it. And he's like, how did you work up the courage? And I'm like, I just wanted to.
You just,
yes,
go there.
Personally, you have to realize that your own happiness is worth more than trying to make everyone else around you happy.
Yeah, because
that's not going to make you happy.
No. It's going to make you miserable.
You know, how did I become a part of the Montrose, you know, neighborhood? One day I walked from where I lived just outside of the neighborhood, came to the, and met people and showed them who I was and didn't hide any part of myself. And there it was.
That's how me and Merlin met.
And it takes a lot for some people to do that. I get that. You know, it does. I remember what I was like back then. We've all had, most of us have had that moment at some point. Most. Some people come flying out of the closet from the minute they figure it out.
Yes.
And and some people, not so much. I just know that there are certain things I will not allow other people to dictate about who I am. You know? And they either have to deal with it or move on. And stay out of my life. You know, stay out of my way.
Well, I grew up in a very small town, and I was the only out gay person in my high school, and I made waves. I even got, closeted gays putting little notes in my lockers telling me to just get back in the closet because it was making it harder for them. I put a big old poster board above my locker and said, just come out. Mm-hmm. I'm not making it harder for you. You're making it harder for yourself. And my name, last time I went back for a reunion, underclassmen heard my name and came up to me and go, you're the one who started it, because I'm the one who made the wave and just said, either you accept us for who we are or get over it. But my thing is I grew up half in the, Houston city and half in small town South Texas, and the peer pressure is still the same. It's just different types of peer pressure.
Yeah.
And what y'all's experiences
in
that?
I grew up in a small town too, on Long Island. Long Island is made up of small towns.
Yes.
And my little town, one of the high schools I was in, because I went to three different high schools, one of the high school, I came into school and there had been, you know, one way or another, the news had spread somehow. And the details, I'm not going to go into all how it happened, but I came home, I came to school twice during the course of a school year and found my locker destroyed. I literally came in and it was like a scene from a movie with fag written on the thing in some pen or something. And it looked like the bionic man had come along and grabbed the corner of the locker door and peeled it back. And every poster, picture, and notebook in my locker was obliterated. And I had similar things happen twice in my, and instead of reacting, you know, like crying little baby, I'm afraid of all these haters kind of thing, I walked up to the two people I knew were most likely responsible for what had been done. And I very quiet, and this is, you have to understand, I went to high school a long time before Columbine. Long time. But I literally walked up to them and said, if this ever happens again, I will kill you.
You didn't threaten to make him sleep with the fishes?
No.
Or offer him a pair of cement shoes?
No, I'm half Irish, I'm half Italian. They won't find the body. And they, and you know, I, after that day, they not one thing happened to me the rest of the school year. But to come to school and realize that who I was had freaked somebody out. And in hindsight, it's like, okay, I can have the thought in my head, okay, what about it freaked them out? Was it a little too close to home for them? And they just did well, obviously I have to react against this and show everybody that I'm not one of them, you know, kind of thing. I don't, you know, and that's why at this point of my life, you know, I just don't give in to other people's idea of who I should be, what I should be, and dress like they do, whatever. And yes, I am lucky in that regard. Because I can do that because I don't have the kind of 9-to-5 or whatever hours job that so many people, you know, and most people aren't themselves in many ways at work, you know, regardless of straight or gay or whatever.
Right, right.
You know, there's a lot of their lives that just don't happen to happen at work.
There's that person, you know. And then there's that professional person.
Yeah.
Like I tell people, you know,
sometimes
when I walk out those doors, that's my personal time.
Yeah,
and if you see me out, that's fine. Mm-hmm. But let's make it understood that I separate my work life from my personal life. Mm-hmm. The two don't intertwine.
Yeah.
What? Got something to contribute?
Yeah. Back to that thing about, you know, you wanted everybody's opinion on that whole peer pressure thing.
Yes, yes.
Yes, I do think it will still be a part of our life because it's all in how the parents raise their children. And a lot of the parents that are raising their kids nowadays are not the greatest parents in the world. They are, to put it mildly, some of the stupidest parents I've seen. And it's just, if you
children
raised
by the internet.
Yeah, if you raise your children the way you were raised, which would have actually been kind of decent, instead of molding your standards to, you know, kind of go backwater and such on that, then you're not going to have very good children. And they're going to turn out to, you know, do all sorts of, like, they'll be pressured in by their other peers to bully the other kids all because it's such an...
I have an argument and an example. Love okay. you to death, but... We are not just the sums of our parents. Mm-hmm. And the prime example that I have of this, sadly enough, is Honey Boo Boo.
Yes. Sad.
Because she loved the gays. Okay? Yeah.
She loves
and
her
I'm,
uncle.
I'm sorry. I
as much as you may dislike everything about it, and I, you know, there's a lot of arguments I have
good reason
to child pageants and all the other BS, yeah. But we are not the sons of our parents, and most of us in the room are a testament to that. We are more than the sums of our parts, and blaming the parents can only take you so far, because once you hit 18, or if you were emancipated early, earlier than that, you are no longer a product of what these people did. You make your own choices. You decide if you wish to be a good person or if you want to be the worst D-bag in the world. It is not necessarily up to the parents. A parent can only be so much. And in this day and age where both... I'm going to get horridly political here for 2 seconds and then I'll stop. But in this day and age when people working... they don't make enough money to afford rent and food and childcare, and they can't raise their kids and have a parent at home because it is feasibly impossible on the wages that we make. You can't just blame the parents for not being around and not raising their kid appropriately.
Part of it is societal.
It's entirely societal. It does not just take one person to raise a child. It does take a village. And when we don't have village support, when you don't have the ability to take care of your kid like one should, and that's not necessarily the parent's fault. If they're working 40-plus hours a week and they still can't afford to maintain rent, to have food, to have a proper education, if they have to live in a place that is less than adequate, all of these things combine. And so it is not just the parent's fault. Hmm. And like I said, everyone in this room is... theoretically a testament to we are not the sums of their parts.
For me, it's there. I like to think that I am some of the best parts of my parents. You know, as an adopted kid, I am still parts of me are still a product of the of those two people who raised me, and some of the things they believed in, especially those things about how you treat other people and things like that. And I made that choice. The things that I did not, where me and my parents, you know, were miles apart on, I was okay. I had to become okay with that. Okay, I didn't have to be like them. I didn't have to be carbon copies of them in those other things. You know, they didn't deal well with my being gay. They didn't, my father didn't deal well with my being a college dropout, but I had other ideas of what my life was needed to be. And that's another part of the pressure in my family. I mean, when everybody is expected to, you know, in some families, everybody who can, in the kinds of families where you can afford to, you know, when you have the kid, every kid's going to go to school, go to college, get a certain kind of job, and kids, the family, the picket fence, all of that nonsense.
The kind of pressure I was under in high school.
These are it's another kind of pressure. And it is. And society often said that this is what this is supposed to be. Well, that was never my vision of who I was. You know? And thusly, yeah, I've become who everybody knows me as and who I accept as myself and you know, and okay with the person I see in the mirror. And that's a really hard thing for people to do, even when they're not looking at it from a point of view of what other people think of them.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yep.
So.
All right. I think it's time for final words and thoughts on the subject, and then we will hand it back to our lovely people on the other side of the glass.
We got 6 minutes.
Plenty of time for final thoughts, words, and funny stories.
Anything? Anybody?
Anybody? Anybody?
Skippy?
We got stuff.
As a new guy, I just wanted to say with peer pressure, it's a lot of fear and just stand up, be who you are. Yeah, it's going to be scary, but one thing I've learned that anytime you're scared and you stand up to that fear, you're going to learn something new that's going to better your life in the end, no matter how long or how hard that trail or that path is going to take, you're going to end up better for it in one way or the other.
And there are going to be, and I will not say that there aren't going to be times when it's not likely to get ugly with some in some situations. But, you know, for most of us, for every obviously for everybody sitting here, at least, there was something on the other side of that drama. There was something on the other side of that pain and the peer pressure and all that stuff. And, you know, we're here. We're testaments to the fact that we made it through to this far, wherever we are at this moment.
You have, in my personal opinion, you have two options. You can try and make someone else happy. And in doing so, you will most likely make yourself unhappy. But the problem with that is you have to live with someone else only so long in your life as you choose to. And at any moment, and I've told my family goodbye, and thankfully they came to their ever-loving senses. But I've told family goodbye. I've told friends goodbye. I've told plenty of people in my life. And most of them eventually realize, and I realized myself, that I may have been overreacting at a given time. But they were also in the wrong. And at times we will all be in the wrong. But when you realize that you are doing things for other people, you are neglecting yourself. And that is the worst thing you can do for yourself.
When you're basing yourself on somebody else's picture of you.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Personally, I reached a point a little over 10 years ago where I realized I am not going to be happy unless I just, you know, once I stop worrying what others think, what others are going to say, I reached that point where I just didn't care what their opinion was. And I was able to move forward with my life, mm-hmm. you know. And once you reach that point, that's a really good feeling.
Well, we talked a lot on other people peer pressuring mm-hmm. us. But one of the main things that everybody should remember is don't peer pressure yourself.
No, don't.
You and we've all done it before. Heck, eyebrows again. Let's just throw that out there. My eyebrows have disappeared because I pressured myself to try and do better in something that I'm not entirely happy with. So, just
sometimes we convince ourselves, well, maybe I'll be better about that if I just do this, and we go in a direction that's just like,
right,
and then we look back and go, why did we do that exactly?
But you've drawn them so beautifully.
Oh, yeah.
I now have a valuable skill called learning how to draw my own eyebrows.
There you go.
See?
Okay, chica.
You're on your way to being a makeup artist already. Look at you.
So, anyhow.
Skippy, you're awfully quiet.
He's just soaking it all in.
I feel like Skippy's learning things.
I think he's soaking it in for future events in his life.
Maybe. Yes.
All right, so kids, if you take anything away from this, peer pressure's bad.
The cogs just are turning.
Saying, oh, Lord.
The cogs are turning. The gears are stripping and everything.
What's stripping?
They stripped a long time
gears,
ago.
Honey, gears.
Oh.
Gears,
if
not
he
people.
Strips gear... Then we take pictures. Anyhow, I'm off of that.
Just remember, everyone, love yourself and use plenty of lube.
Good night, kids.
Good night, kids.
Wow.
Walter Cronkite never ended a show that well.
I try. And I got to promote business somehow. Oh, wait.
You're very trying.
I know.
Oh, this has been After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude. If you're a certain person out there, we're just about done. So if you've gotten yourself out of that boredom shock you've had of being us here, Zetica Pasale is coming up next, and it will wake your happy ass up. So stay tuned for that. If you want to find out the other program we have on KPFT, go to kpft.org, and you can find a full schedule there. Yeah, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/afterhours, KPFT. I got a video up there, a cover of, what the hell song?
I don't remember. I briefly looked.
cute cubbish kind of guy, cubbish, otterish, something like that. Check it out, Aiden something or other. I'm sorry, my mind's kind of frazzled. It was the cheesecake. This has been After Hours, Queer Radio with Attitude, here on listener-sponsored, commercial-free Pacifica Radio for the Gulf Coast, KPFT Houston, 90.1 FM, 89.5 Galveston, 90.3 Livingston, always the World Wide Web at kpft.org. As we said at the top of the hour, Zydeco Pas Salé. We are in High Definition Radio, a couple different stations. KPFT.org has all the information. You can find us on Facebook and Twitter. It's the time for PSAs. PSAs and Zydeco at the top. KPFT Houston.
KPFT Houston is supported in part by Moss Rehab. Moss Rehab in Philadelphia, ranked as one of America's top 10 rehabilitation providers by U.S. News and World Report, specializes in physical medicine and rehabilitation and research for brain injury, spinal cord injury, amputation, stroke, and neurological disorders, providing patients with diagnostics and technology to achieve advanced outcomes. Learn more at mossrehab.com.
Do you or someone you know own a local dining establishment? KPFT has a pledge drive coming up, and each drive, restaurants in the area feed our phone volunteers who give of their time to help KPFT reach its goals. Donations of food by these establishments are tax deductible and help community radio in the process. We also thank your establishment on air. Call 713-526-4000 for more information on how Houston eateries can lend a helping hand to KPFT. Ideal locations will be close to downtown Houston and be able to provide meals for 12 hungry volunteers. Again, that's 713-526-4000 for more information. This is 90.1 Pacifica Radio, kpft.org, twitter.com/kpft, facebook.com/kpfthouston.
KPFT Houston.